Welcome to the AFL Ratings Podcast. We speak with Aaron Bryan tonight, and it is a round five wrap. This podcast was recorded on April 14, 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, Sunday night, that is. Make necessary adjustments as news come to hand. Enjoy the pod. Okay, so let's welcome in Aaron Bryan. It was a classic match on Saturday night, Port Adelaide and Fremantle, and down to the wire, power getting over the line late.
Yeah, an absolute arm wrestle, really. And we've seen that a lot over the past couple of weeks from Fremantle. They like to keep it a low-scoring affair. Defensively, their structures are really solid. And it was kind of a pretty enticing midfield battle as well when you put up, you know, Butters, Horn Francis and Rosie against the likes of Young, Sarong and Brayshaw. And it was neck and neck all night. They both sides kind of had flows of momentum. And it probably felt like Fremantle were the better side across the night. But Port Adelaide just managed to find a way to get it done. The two late goals, basically out of stoppages, got them over the line in the end, and it was a bit of deja vu for the Dockers, up by nine late in the quarter, and then to concede a couple and give away a victory puts them at 3-2, which is probably very frustrating for Fremantle fans, considering they think they belong in that conversation of maybe a top four side, but their record doesn't reflect that. And Port Adelaide, meanwhile, they're just firing on all cylinders. I mean, the Melbourne game was decided by a kick as well, so that easily could have left them unbeaten at this point in the season. So they've matched it with the best. They've certainly comfortably beaten the worst as well. So they, yeah, deserve, I guess, that premium billing right now. They've got a pretty tough month to come, including Collingwood this coming weekend. But, yeah, the Power look like destined to be in September action.
Zach Butters was the standout for Port Adelaide.
Yeah, it was a funny one. Like, he's just so ferocious, isn't he? Like, I think it was a fairly team effort across the board. I think Soldo's dominance in the ruck was certainly helpful. And, you know, up forward, Charlie Dixon was a prominent target. But in the middle, they did share the load a fair bit. Like Ollie Wines saw plenty of footy. Horn Francis was ill through the week, so he had some rotations, but not as damaging as the week prior. But, yeah, Butters was more electric, I think. And, yeah, that ferociousness with the way he attacked the ball to the point where he nearly got suspended for charging his way through Bailey Banfield. But just more damaging, and I think that's the reason why he was, you know, in Brownlow discussions last year. Obviously, Connor Rosie's been a bit more slick and smooth out of stoppage this year, which is why he's taken all the headlines. But there's no reason why Butters isn't going to pop up every now and again with these monster performances that can carry a side over the line.
I must say, Josh Tracy was excellent for Fremantle and presented as a genuine target up forward.
Yeah, it's a funny one. Like, I don't see a lot of Fremantle every now and again, depending on where they were playing, because last year they were quite poor and didn't get that premium billing. But Tracy's a guy who has spent a lot of his time in the twos. I think that was his 40th game in four seasons. So, but he you're right, he looks entrenched in the 22 now. He's an actual premium leading target. He had that trifecta of goals that really put Fremantle in the box seat in the second quarter and gave them the lead. He lines up well alongside Amos and Tabner to an extent at times, who's probably the weakest link of the three now. So Sean Darcy's confirmed to come back in next week, which probably pushes Jackson forward and maybe Tabs misses out. I think, yeah, Tracy's a more genuine utility now because he can play forward and also chop into the ruck, which they may not need as much next week, but he's very versatile. So a guy that was picked up in the rookie draft and, yeah, over the years we haven't seen a lot of is now, yeah, well and truly one of their better players up forward.
Port Adelaide and Fremantle fantasy wrap. So I'll just put these four in a group here. So Zach Butters, 113 points. Solid start to his year. Ollie Wines, 106 points. So comes back into the team and produces a pretty solid result. Hayden Young continues his solid start to the season, 102 points. And Connor Rosie got there late with 100 points in the end.
Yeah, so Rosie and Butters are pretty surefire mids. I think you know what you're getting with them, and it's just a matter of who's going to end up the better one out of the end of the year. But regardless of what you can afford, I don't think you're going wrong with either. Obviously, Butters had a little bit of a lower score last week, but was able to bounce back with another 110. So like, he's certainly a premium option. At times, he may just drop a little bit of an underperforming score, but it's not going to be consistent. Hayden Young looks great. I think, as we've touched on this the last couple of weeks, that slow start where he was playing more defensively, they've fully given him the reins now through the middle. So I think that's going to last. And he's really fitting into that role quite comfortably as a tackler and a disposal winner. So he's a very good option down back now and living up to the hype of the preseason. Wines, I'm still not totally sold on. Travis Boak was obviously out, which enabled Ollie to play a little bit more on the outside, and he was very damaging doing that. But When we talk about that midfield rotation, Willem Drew's having a career best season as well. So there's so much depth in Port Adelaide that I still think Wines is on the outer. And I mentioned it before that Horne Francis was quite sick during the week. And I know Ken Hinkley mentioned that he and I think it was Alia or Radicalia both had an illness through the week, but it was actually quite more severe than he let on. It sounded like they were really battling up until, bounce down. So the Hornet took a little bit of a back seat and ended up floating it forward a fair bit more. I think come next week against Collingwood, we'll probably see it revert back again, and he'll get more of the centre bounces, Jason on Francis, rather than Ollie Wines. So every now and again, he's going to give you these 100 scores, which is handy for the price that he's at, but I just don't think it's worth chasing him off the back of that performance.
Round 5 notable fantasy players, and Max Gorn, 149 points, was outstanding in a ruck against Brisbane. Josh Dunkley, 123 points in the same game, solid through the midfield, probably an option right now. And Dane Zorko across halfback, 117 points.
Yeah, the Zorc's been amazing up forward. I think given his age, there was a little bit of concern and his injury history where, he'd often miss many games when he'd start to get on a roll. He actually looks really sturdy this year, which is a surprise. So he's certainly a premium option. Josh Dunkley's a great one now that they've had their bye in the midfield. I think, his tackling wasn't as dominant earlier in the round, but he still managed to rack up plenty of footy. So that's a good sign that he can find ways to tum without that. And Max Gorn is clearly, I think, the number one ruck this year. Tim English hasn't been as stable as him. He's got his bye this weekend, obviously, and then you'd want to target him the week after that. I think his scoring we now know is very reliable, but I think the biggest headline out of Max Gorn's 149 is actually his opponent, Oscar McInerney, who now we're starting to see a trend that I think he's leaking scores to opposition ruckmen, which hasn't really happened in the past. He's a big-bodied figure. He can win his own hitouts. So traditionally, when they match up, you go, oh, look, it might be a decent score, but it's never going to be a monster. But this year it has been. He's consistently been outmatched. So it's almost like, when Jackson has been rucking, and we saw that with Ivan Soldo, you try and prioritize a ruckman that's playing Fremantle, which you may not do now that Sean Darcy's back in. But all of a sudden, it's now prioritize ruckmen that are playing West Coast, obviously, with Bailey Williams, and then playing Brisbane with Oscar McInerney, because for some reason, he's just getting towed up in terms of fantasy points. So I think that's the biggest story coming out of that Melbourne game.
In Canberra, Rowan Marshall, 138 points, was outstanding against Briggs. Jack Steele continues his solid form, 122 points through the midfield, and Lachie Whitfield across halfback was outstanding, 120 points.
Yeah, Steele, I think there was a bit of uncertainty heading into the year of how reliable he was going to be with the consistent shoulder injuries. But yeah, well and truly back to his best now. I feel like a broken record talking about him every weekend because he's gone 120 plus in his last four. So he was definitely underpriced and will be there by the end of the year as one of the best options in the midfield. He's back to his best. Lachie Whitfield again, that rebound off halfback has been really sturdy, floating through the middle as well. Plenty of uncontested ball. So another great option in terms of like premium guys that'll be there by the end of the year. I think, yeah, Whitfield's a top six defender, Steele's top eight midfielder. Rowan Marshall, we do tend to forget about, I think, around the Gorn and English combo, and then on top of that, Sherry performing quite low. But yeah, Marshall's still been able to hit those big scores across the year, and we floated it, I think, last week that he always talks about, being tired after games and whether or not he's going to be rested in the weeks to come. I can't see it happening. Tom Campbell's name was thrown up, but yeah, Rowan just consistently gets it done. He's very reliable for Ross, and there's no reason why he can't play the entire year out unless he manages to pull an injury at some point.
145 points for Sam Walsh in his return from a back injury.
Yeah, this was mega. I didn't see this coming, to be honest. I had him in a keeper league and benched him because I just wasn't sure what we'd get on the first game back, whether or not they'd look after him and maybe sum him early. But well and truly, yeah, just bang immediately, racking up the footy, leading up front. Surprisingly, Carlton have a history of him coming back in and losing and going on losing runs, which isn't great for the Blues fans. But from a fantasy perspective, yeah, he's just firing, which is great. I think it's hard when you have such a small sample size and he's immediately posted a big score that you probably want to get on without having to see, I guess, what the fallout is. And the only thing I can say there is maybe have a listen to Michael Voss's presser and have a look at some of the training notes through the week and just make sure he's pulled up all right. But there were no signs that that back injury was lingering. I think they've done a good job of protecting him over the first month of the season and making sure he was ready to go. So yeah, suddenly we've got another premium option out of the Blues.
On Saturday night on the Gold Coast, the Suns were too good for the Hawks in a pretty solid win. And Noah Anderson, 154 points, was dominant through the midfield and across halfback. Sam Flanders, 125 points.
Yeah, mega. Good to see that Flanders' role has continued, and Hardwick alluded to that through the week, but you never know when it comes to trusting coaches, and we saw it again. So, yeah, Flanders already has that mid-forward DPP, so he's not going to get defence maybe next year, obviously, but the role is perfect for what is, I guess, currently premium options in fantasy, which is, yeah, those rebounding halfbacks who can take marks, get plenty of plus sixes, but find plenty of footy as well. Anderson cashed in on the Hawks. We're going to see that over the next few weeks. I think that until Will Day comes back in, they're just way too easy to beat. And the reason his scoring was so high was he's found plenty of the footy with that lack of Hawthorn pressure, but he still was able to apply heaps of tackling, which at times isn't really part of Noah Anderson's game, which is a good sign. He's still so young. He's going to be an elite option in the years to come. So, yeah, the Gold Coast have had their bye. Nice little run coming up as well. So the Swans is a tricky one, but then, West Coast, Brisbane, North, Geelong is a nice little month of footy for Suns prospects. So Flanders, I think you have to get him in now, purely because the forward options have been lacking, and DPPs are dropping next week, so there'll be some extra options, but no real mega premiums from the mid getting forwards. So I think Flanders is the guy to prioritise right now.
And this Sunday, the early game, Harry Sheezel pretty much did as he logged through that halfback line for the Kangaroos. 159 points, a whopping score. And Tom Powell, pretty decent matchup for the Kangaroos midfield against Geelong. 113 points for him, and a pretty solid start to his season.
Yeah, we laughed about it last week. Sheezel set and forget, and I wish I'd listened to my own advice there, because I had him as my captain for the majority of the round and switched to Dawson at the last minute, who looked awful for Adelaide. And Sheezel, meanwhile, not only did he comfortably get his 120 plus, mainly because of the footy he finds coming out of the back line in terms of kick-ins and also the uncontested marking game, but the reason he jumped to that next level and pushed this mega score of the 159 is we actually saw him push through the middle. He hit the scoreboard as well. So not only was he playing off of half back, he was getting around the ground, almost that Errol Goulden type role where he just followed the footy wherever it went. So that's a good sign of things to come, I think. And it's a big problem for North Melbourne because they've got so many young stars that they've got to get on the ball at some point. And Sheezel showcased that he can do that. So Hawthorn next weekend is this tantalizing matchup where I think you have to kind of back him in. You probably have a VC before that, but once they play, and if you've run out of options, he's got to be the guy you cash in with, because his ceiling is so high now, it's ludicrous, and most of the competition owns him as well. I think it's about 65%. So yeah, set and forget Sheezel, I think, is the new go, and try and loophole before that if you can. And yeah, Tom Power, a really good forward option throughout the year. It just his role has continued to solidify over the last couple of weeks, where he's definitely that inside midfielder who can find high tackle numbers. Actually had a little bit of a slow start, I think, against Geelong today, and found heaps of footy late. So very reliable, I think, as a guy who, we can bank on getting 80 plus now, which in a forward sense is so important in this campaign.
Yeah, I fully expect this week Sam Mitchell to be asked in his press conference from a journo. Will Harry Sheezel be tagged this week? And Mitchell will pretty much go with his standard line of we'll have a look at it and possible that him may see a tag next week. But, the Hawks really aren't doing it to what they've done previously under Mitchell. So,
Yeah, and I guess the thing with North Melbourne, which probably isn't so much with Hawthorn because it actually is a winnable game for the Hawks, but other sides, as such as we saw with Geelong today, they won't care if Harry Sheezel gets 30 touches because they know they're going to win the game. And albeit he can be damaging at times, a lot of them, as I mentioned, come from the back line, and they won't care about that. It's not so much that Nick Martin role, which can be a little bit more impactful on the outside and through the middle. So Hawthorn may look at him in terms of a tag, but I don't think he's the guy you need to lock down. Like, he is finding plenty of footy, but I don't think he's the reason North will beat Hawthorn next weekend.
yeah, I think Tate's pretty much out the door, pretty much at stoppage, and maybe just a bit of a shadow at stoppages and, from boundary throw-ins and also maybe come out of halfback. It might be Sheezel, but I don't think it'll be a hard take. Finn McInnes is in that team. He played well forward on Saturday night, but yeah, we'll see if that's a hard take. But I'm definitely expecting Sam Mitchell to be asked, and that'll be news throughout the week. So just monitor that. But yeah, that's last game of the round. So if you're rolling with him as a captain, you probably want to take note of what Sam Mitchell says, but it'll be probably that standard line.
Yeah, I don't think even Yeah, because of the role, if he does get a run with through the middle, as soon as he floats back to defensive 50, what's the point, right? So they'll just let it go. So he's still going to find a way to at least get, 80 plus, which isn't great as a captain, but certainly serviceable. And the hope is that he doesn't get any attention at all and he pushes his way to 120, and then we're laughing.
Exactly. Okay, Aaron, where can the listeners find you?
As you can find me at Aaron Bryans on Twitter, also on through the ABC Listen app. So this coming weekend, I've got Friday night footy with the Crows and the Bombers, which all of a sudden, shapes up as a pretty good game. Adelaide's winless start to the year. It looked like their campaign was over, but Essendon were quite impactful against the Western Bulldogs, and Adelaide now have a good little run. So upsetting Carlton, looking back to their best, they can knock off Essendon. They've got North the week after, and then the showdown, and maybe by round eight, they're 4-4 and the season is alive again. So it's a big matchup suddenly. And you can hear it all on the ABC Listen app.
You can find me at AFL Ratings Pete on Twitter. AFL Ratings is the main account there on Twitter as well. AFLratings.com.au for a stack of fantasy information. Well, Aaron, enjoy your week of prep and we'll speak to you after round six.
Cheers, Pete.